and in this infinite spirit which is I Christ. The images lose their power, for he who dwells in I Christ infinite. It was necessary to come out of the belief in human birth to come into the understanding of I Christ infinite. In this consciousness we face every day. Violations are the recognition of another identity, another power, another substance than the one. Now this is your yardstick. It makes no difference what the world says or does. The yardstick never changes. It is a 36-inch yardstick. And no matter what the world gives you to measure against it, if it isn't 36 inches, the world is wrong, because your yardstick says this is 36 inches. Somebody gives you a 32-inch fabric and says it's 36, measure it against your yardstick. If the yardstick says 36, it's 36. If it only measures 32, it isn't 36. You can count on that yardstick to tell you the truth. And in spirit, you need a similar truth as a yardstick. Your yardstick in spirit is God being all, only Christ's spirit is. And Christ's spirit being perfect, only perfection is. Christ's spirit being harmony, only harmony is. Christ's spirit being truth, only truth is. Hate, violence, fear, intimidation, terror, all the things that appear measured against the yardstick of the truth of Christ's spirit being all are shown to be false. The fact of Christ's spirit being all will not change. Nothing can change Christ's spirit from being the only presence. Nothing can change perfection of that spirit from being the permanent law of the earth. Whatever denies it is denying your yardstick. 36-inch yardstick is always a 36-inch yardstick. Christ is always infinite Christ. Whatever denies it is not only a lie. That illusion has to go. To be the child of your parents is to not be the child of God. It would be just as ridiculous for your human child to be the child of someone else and your child too. It simply isn't possible for you to be the child of two different parents, human and spiritual as well. And by accepting human parentage, we have accepted that God is not our Father. By accepting material parentage, we have accepted that we are not spiritual beings. That was part of the dream. That was the Adam and Eve era. That's the era that every parent passes on to its child with all its love. You are now a human being. And in that is the separation from the divine life, which is all that is there. Now, because you accept yourself to be or not to be the child of God, you must see this too. When you cannot accept yourself to be the child of God, it is not you who cannot accept it. Again, it is that mortal mind which refuses to permit the acceptance. But rather, mortal mind in you says, no, I cannot accept it. And you think you cannot accept it. You think you're having a difficult time accepting yourself as spirit. But material World consciousness will not permit it. It isn't you at all who rejects it. There is no such you to reject it, because spirit is all there is. That is why in this last chapter we were told that there were those who still could not repent, but worshipped all the brass, the iron, the gold, the minerals, still having their belief in the physical world. The law of infinite spirit functions only within itself. And when you have accepted an infinite spiritual universe and know yourself to be that spirit which is undivided from itself, you may say, well, and I'm a piece. I'm a part of that wholeness. But you can't give any parts to God. God has no parts. God is one. You can't put God in the category of our finite human minds, which say, well, I have parts here. I have an arm here and an arm there and a leg and a leg. That's our finite human concept, but it isn't God. God is one. There are no parts in that one. There's just God being. You simply cannot be a part of God because there are no parts. You cannot be a finite anything in God. You cannot be a limited anything in God. You have to stand four square on the fact that God being one and God being all, there is no other one. And there you see the mortal dream which thinks there are other ones, including me. A literal dream. A 50, 60, 70, 80 year hallucination. And all the while there stands the light of God. Ye are the light. Not the dream. Not the form that perishes. Not the form that experiences the iniquities that I, infinite Christ, am too pure to behold. Now, the minute you have abided in I, infinite Christ, the one substance, law, principle of all it is, then you are following the words that are spoken. Beside me, there is no other. And because that me which says there is no other is the living spirit, it must be the spirit of you saying, beside me there is no other. The words of the Father are given to us for a very special reason. They are always true. There is no power on the earth to make them untrue. The Christ mind utters the words of the Father. And the Christ mind is never separated from those words. Never separated. So that the words of the Christ mind and the Christ mind are always one. Now you, seeking the Christ mind, have only to find the words of the Christ mind from which the Christ mind is never separated, and those words will lead you right back to the Christ mind. Those words will find their own source in you. They will awaken you to the Christ mind in you. That is like an infinite guided missile. The words of the Christ spoken at any time in the history of man are permanent dispensations, and when you touch them, find them, accept them, and live them, they lead you back to your Christ mind. It's the hidden combination to the safe. And so these words become to us the way. The collected words of the Christ become the one word. And wherever these words are spoken by the Christ, they are being spoken in you by the Christ of your being. Just as Jesus physically would say, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." So these words that are spoken in the Bible are being spoken within you too. They are the Comforter. They lead you too. Your Christ awareness. And as you look at the words with your human mind unable to fathom them, they remain in front of you until something in you rises beyond your conceptual mind, and that is your Christ mind, because the words are finding their source in you. You can take the words, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" and stand there in them, speaking them. To your human parents and the concept of them that you entertain, until you realize that I, Christ Infinite, being your name, it is also their name. The one self. And you have the reality of them and of you as the one I, Christ Infinite. Without a birth. And you see the forms that come in time and space are the false world concepts. And each of these concepts prevents you from receiving the inner blessing, from crossing over into the living in the kingdom of God. For only the child of God, the Spirit of God, the Christ of God lives in the kingdom of God on earth. And only that Christ of God experiences the grace of God on earth. While you are then resting in the knowledge that I, Christ Infinite, is everywhere, you know that there are no physical obstructions to I, Christ Infinite. There is no place where your being is not. Wherever you go, your being is there. All that is going is the form. And that form is the concept. Now you have your being everywhere, for it ever was. And as you rest in that knowledge that my being is everywhere, for I am Christ Infinite, you are in the truth which can never be changed or improved upon, and in which the perfect law of grace is functioning. There's nothing you need do to improve a thing. Grace is functioning in the infinite Christ. And if the infinite Christ is your acknowledged self, you are in grace. If you do not separate yourself from identity, that grace continues, and it performs everything necessary so that the moment you express a need, you have stepped out of grace, because there is no need unfulfilled in grace. There is no need unfulfilled in Christ. And if you are aware of a single need, you are denying I, Christ, infinite. A problem, then, is the denial of I, Christ, infinite. That's part of the bitterness that must be eliminated. Anything that denies I, Christ, infinite is a denial of the fact, and the fact being a permanent fact, that which denies it cannot be real. Now, you can take anything in your life that denies I, Christ, infinite, and that is how you step out of reality. The minute you accept that which denies it. I, Christ, infinite means that you are now in the government of God, in the seven thunders, in the seven heavens, in the perfect kingdom on earth. And we must remember that it is the Father's will that we inherit the earth. You cannot inherit the earth as a mortal being. Only as I, Christ, and not an I, Christ, in a form, not an I, Christ, in a place or a time, but I, Christ, the only. Now then, who is your neighbor? I, Christ, infinite. Your neighbor is yourself. So is every tree and flower and river and mountain and stream. Where they appear as material, there is no material. There is only the infinite I, Christ, self. This whole universe is built as an image where only I, Christ, infinite am. I, Christ, infinite am the kingdom which is not this world. Now, this is a very difficult consciousness to live with, and although ultimately it will be a normal consciousness, so that when you wake up and say I, Christ, it will mean I, Christ, infinite to you, and you'll know it means that. It will embrace more than just your personal sense of self. You will feel it stretching out, including much more than just a personal sense of you. And you will know that the law of I, Christ, infinite, is always functioning. So that no matter what appears, it is the lie about what is functioning. And it is met with the consciousness of I, Christ, infinite, which says to that which appears without a word, thou couldst have no power over me. For you are not there. Only I, Christ, infinite, am there. I, Christ, infinite, am everywhere. There is no other. And with this, you rob the serpent of its sting. Now let us practice that. Let us dwell in the fact that I, child of God, am pure spirit. I am 5 million years ago and 5 million years from now. I am wherever a foot can set. I am high and I am low. I am here and I am there. There is no place where I am not. I am not a form as men know forms. I am the eternal light. I am the living child of the Father. I am divine, in image and likeness, perfect as my Father, now. There are no tomorrows for me. There is only eternity now. Wherever my spirit is, I am. Wherever my spirit is, the law of my spirit is. Wherever my spirit is, perfection is ever expressing through that spirit. Wherever I go, I already am. Don't memorize it, practice it. Practice it in your consciousness before the day. Practice it in your consciousness during the day. Practice it during the night. Practice it whenever you have a moment to practice it, until it begins to be your normal house, your normal consciousness. Then you are abiding. Then you will discover that imperfections in the world do not come nigh your dwelling as frequently or as deeply. Something in you goes before you. Something prepares a table in the wilderness. Something removes the cobwebs of old belief. World mind finds little home in your consciousness. While you are doing this in the continuation of silence, world mind has no place to go in you. And so you are benefiting two ways. You are knowing the truth and also closing the door to the lie. And then when the lie sneaks through as it does, you can face it with a strengthened consciousness, but you can't be there because I am. Matter can't be there because spirit is. You have your spiritual universe, and you are the spiritual being in that universe. And all forms are your spiritual being misperceived into form. Beside me, there is no other. That is the way you uphold the allness of God. And that is the way you earn your sonship. Now, we have been prepared sufficiently so that we can practice this total acknowledgement of the allness of God. And as we are abiding in this realization, the within of us, being one with the Father, can say, Thou seest me, Thou seest the Father who sent me. The within of me can say to all who walk the earth, all that is there is my spirit. What did hinder thee? Pick up thy beds. The withinness of us can witness the undivided garment, the one infinite self without parts, without separate beings, all one. And in that oneness, I am. The moment you begin to divide that infinite oneness and make yourself a part of it, you're fooling yourself. You're not a part of anything. The you that could be a part doesn't exist. Christ is one. And from this develops that great love, which knows that I, being everywhere, behind every form, I am. Behind every condition, I am. Behind everything that walks the earth, I am. Behind the bird, I am. Behind the grass. behind the stream, behind everything that is animal, vegetable, or material, only I am. And all these appearances are but crystallized mental images of a world mind, and through them will function my being as I take them into my consciousness, that before the world was, I am. And I will ever be, and I will even be here unto the end of the world. For I am that Christ, which is the divine image and likeness of the Father, and all his qualities are in me. Now, I can tell you this, that anyone who is willing to strive to live in that consciousness, who achieves it only 20 minutes a day, will discover its power, and that will be enough to make you want to achieve it more. The power of it is the power that ultimately is going to change this world into the kingdom of heaven on earth. And whatever you're doing in this consciousness is the love that you're expressing for those around you. This is where you give the real love, the divine love. This is where you give the real divine substance, because you release it from yourself. And as you give it out, you receive it. The eye of you here gives out what the eye of you there receives. You cannot receive it unless you give it. The eternal mystery is that the receiving and the giving are one. Now, we're not in the normal human consciousness or the normal human way. We're in the mystical path, where everything you do is beyond normal human understanding. It's beyond words. It's beyond human thoughts. And it must be kept there in order to be truth. As long as it is beyond your human understanding and your human words and your human methods, you are walking in the Father. The moment you strive to take it down to your understanding, you're going to lose it. The moment your finite mind can understand it, and try to sit there and say, now let me see how grace works. I want a diagram of this. That moment, you're out of it. Because grace doesn't work in the human mind. It cannot. The infinite cannot work inside the finite. You have to break down all the walls of human desire and recognize that the only thing in you that wants to know and understand is the world mind, disguising itself as your curiosity, your reason, your logic, your inquiring mind. It isn't yours at all. It's the world mind, the Antichrist, refusing to surrender. The more you can keep this in the realm where I don't understand it, nor do I want to, I simply want to rest in it with total assurance and confidence and trust that because I, Christ, am infinite and there is no other self than I can walk through this universe never once recognizing another self. Never once fearing another self. Never once doubting that another self can do harm to me, or that a human condition can do harm to me. For I am the only self. I am the mind. I am the power. I am the vision. I am the hearing. I am these things, and if I seek these things, I am stepping out of the knowledge that I am Christ infinite. I am back in the false human sense of things. When I say I lack hearing, I'm not talking about I Christ infinite anymore. I'm talking about a human form with human ears. God doesn't have human ears. Then why do I look for human hearing? I am Christ infinite. My hearing is infinite. And you will find that when you hear infinitely, it will manifest as human hearing. When you see infinitely, it will manifest as human vision. When you live in the infinite mind, it will manifest as higher human intelligence. And always it will be an ordainment from the Spirit, fulfilling itself where you stand. Now we then, who are children of this Spirit, learn to walk in trust, not with inquiring little human minds. The inquiring little human mind will never in its entire lifespan prove the allness of God. It has no desire to. It has one desire, to prove how superior it is and how intelligent. It is the disguise of world mind. The peace then that passeth understanding is not to be understood by a world mind or an individual mind in us. We must be lifted above the desire to understand with that mind, for only above that desire do we find the peace that passeth understanding. Because it is an infinite peace. It doesn't come from an individual who suddenly knows some truth he's wanted to know. It is the peace of the infinite descending upon the realized Christ. Now let's not bring God's divine standards down to our personal standards. Let's not be hypnotized into the belief that I, of mine own self, living in a human dream, can understand anything. The only thing you can understand in the dream is that which is unreality. Now, when you dwell with this dream idea for a while, it may not fully register with you. It's very difficult to accept that this world and all it contains is part of a world dream. Later it will be the only thing that makes sense. And you realize that there can be no killing in the presence of God. What is it then? There can be no cancer in the presence of God. What is it then? There can be no child death in the presence of God. What are these evils if they cannot exist in the presence of God? They are either the truth and God is not present, or God is present and the evils are not. And if the evils are not present because God is, what are they? They're part of a dream. Can you just dream evil and not dream good too? How do you do that? The dream contains the good and the evil. The world dream. You'll puncture that dream. It will seem like an accident, but suddenly it will be clear. In the twinkling of an eye, you will see why the harvest has been ever present, why you do and can and will inherit the earth, because the puncturing of the dream suddenly occurs. It's very clear. Mortality is a myth. and all that makes the sense of mortality is part of the myth. All that is present is I. Here, there, and everywhere, I. Spirit. Translate your whole universe back into its one substance, spirit, and know that it is I, and that substance is the I that you are. You will find your grace there beyond understanding. For there is no human understanding in spirit to understand. The very nature of I, spirit, being the all, precludes the possibility that there is a mind there, a human mind, that can understand it. And that very mind that says, I want to understand it, is its own denial of its own spiritual reality. I have no such mind that wants to understand. Infinite mind isn't seeking to understand itself. What other mind is there? Any other mind is excess baggage. Get rid of it. Now, as you practice this, nothing is going to happen that is very startling. You'll be in a void. But I can assure you, if you're doing it correctly for some time, the very air around you will seem to change when you least expect it, even within an hour. And you'll feel a new kind of freedom. You will find that the void which has caused this new kind of freedom is world thought has been removed. World thought, about which you're never conscious because it's invisible, will have been removed for that moment. And when world thought isn't there, your freedom begins. All of the thought waves of the universe are nullified, virtually destroyed where you're concerned, in the realization that I am infinite Christ. And this absence of world thought entering your infinite Christ consciousness brings a peace, a lightness, an absence of density, a lucidity, a new kind of freedom, so sweet that you know you have found a new dimension. And then, like John, you can say, I reached out for the book which declares God is all, and it was sweet. And though it was bitter in the belly, I digested it faithfully, lived with it. And then to you, the angel will say exactly what is said to John, which terminates that chapter. And he said unto me, thou must now prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Once you have taken the book and lived it, proved it, demonstrated it, then the nations, tongues, and kings of the world will be relieved of their falseness in your consciousness. You will stand before them as a prophet. You have proven that God is all. And only when you have proven it will you rent the veil and move into the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now that proof is what we're to live through, the I Am consciousness, the Christ infinite. And when you run into snags on it, just sit back and remember, because it's the truth will help you find the way. It doesn't matter how many times you stumble with it. It matters not at all. I, Christ, isn't stumbling. Only a human sense of self is stumbling. I, Christ, is ever yourself. We We're moving into that consciousness now, individually and collectively. And as we practice it, something in you will come and say, now you're ready to hear that seventh trumpet that breaks down the walls of Jericho, which opens the veil, which releases you from the limiting mortal concepts, which ushers in the new age, the new man, the new consciousness, the new heaven on earth. We earn our way. And always what you're doing is you are following in the passage, in the footsteps of Christ Jesus, who stood before the world mind doing the same. Now you have the weapons of truth, and if you use them, you will discover the world's powers are not quite as big or effective as they had seemed to be to a human consciousness. Let's practice this now, right here. I have no neighbor, for I, Christ, am infinite. I am my own neighbor. I recognize no neighbor other than I, Christ, the invisible self that I am. I recognize no horse, no cow, no chickens, no livestock of any kind. I recognize no crops. It is all the invisible I, Christ, and this is our visible concept of the activity of I, Christ, invisible. But I, Christ, is all that is there. I, Christ, stand where the world sees the Empire State Building or the Bank of America. Only I, Christ, is there. All of the forms, all of the images are not there, for I, Christ, am there. Wherever I go, I am. I greet myself when I arrive. I meet myself, for there is no place where I am not. All of China, I am the Christ infinite there. There is no China. There is only my living spirit. There is no place where my living spirit is not, and I am all of it. I am that one, the infinite divine image and likeness. You must rest in this consciousness continuously. You practice it for 10, 20 minutes at a time. And when you're not practicing it, you'll find life isn't quite as comfortable as you'd like it to be. When you're practicing it, you'll discover new paths of glory you never anticipated. You'll discover the effortlessness of living, the non-struggle for survival, the assurance that there is only my infinite life, the peace that really comes. I, Christ Infinite, am the truth, the life, the way, the resurrection. And beside me there is no other. I am no longer a human form. And in that knowledge, this human form is in the hands of God. Be willing now to move into a place where there are no thoughts at all, and no words to express thoughts, there's only this vast silence of being. You'll discover that that vast silence of being, devoid of words and thoughts, though it may be uncomfortable at first, is where the substance of life is reestablishing for you the purpose of God in the midst of you. This is where the Word is being made flesh, above the words and above the thoughts. The action of the Holy Ghost is taking place there, unhampered by human thinking, unhampered by the world mind. Only grace is flowing there. When you're above words and thoughts, you're dead to mortal self and alive to Christ. Be willing to go above words and thoughts where you are dead to mortal self. That death is the entrance to life. A new you does emerge. You're not saying anything, knowing anything, doing anything, remembering anything. You're just in the vast silence of the mortal self. Only I am is there. That's how you begin to receive these words that John now received. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. The leaving of this mortal consciousness, rising above words and thoughts into the new, is the measuring of the temple of the new consciousness, which brings you into living guidance, living revelation, the realization of your own light being. I think we have our message today. Some of it is sweet. Practice of it may be bitter. But if you stay through the bitterness, you will find the sweet. For we are all the temple of the living God. And we are learning that this is the fact that will never change. I'll be very happy to answer any questions in the mail or on the phone about any phase of this work at any time. So don't walk in doubts if you have a question. Thanks very much.